the opinions of the people expressing them, and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors. So
uninspired. And when I knew I had to face, I am thankful for the adversities which have crossed my path, Lord, and taught me tolerance, so perseverance, self-control, and some other virtues I might not have ever known. Life was so unkind. Author and I. You're the key to my peace. When we are faced with a problem, we seem ready, able, and willing.
You are listening to Fresh Air Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and 106.7 in St. Paul. This is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman.
Not on the war. Focus crystallizes and directs the powerful energy of the mind. Focus galvanizes the mental, emotional, and physical energy politically to such an exact degree
and enlighten
our efforts cannot miss the mark. When we focus on the goal and not the obstacles that can and do come about, we ensure victory. We should not spend our energy worrying about what the enemy might be doing. Like the mightiest Shanti, if we focus on our thoughts, we will take our steps with confidence and move forward. We may stumble, but we cannot fall. Focus gives the elk its grace. Focus gives the gazelle its speed. Focus gave the Ashanti strength and the tradition of undefeated warriors. Affirmation. I remain focused on the goal, even in the midst. How do you cultivate focus when the pressure is on? Where is your focus today? And how it is guiding you forward? It comes from the book Acts of Faith, Daily Meditations. Good evening. You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, and we're streaming online at kfai.org. And this is Health Notes from the Hearts of a Natural Woman, and I'm Kinshasa. It has been an incredible month, especially the past 3 weeks have been really challenging our ability to maintain our calm and at the same time be steadfast in our fearlessness and our support of ourselves and our support of each other. I'm going to share with you some of the things that have been going on in the Twin Cities for the past month, and at the same time provide some ways to relax and chill. So I think what we'll do is that we'll start by talking about some of the things that have been going on in the Twin Cities, and we'll end with meditations, affirmations, so that we can ground ourselves. I think that the most important thing that we can do now is to take loving care of ourselves, whether that be through getting a massage, whether that be through humming, whether that be through just holding somebody that you love. It's important if we're going to do the important work that's necessary in the community to protect ourselves and our community, we have to protect ourselves. January 7th, 2026, Renee Nicole Good, 37-year-old American citizen, was fatally shot in Minneapolis, Minnesota, by the United States Immigration and Custom Enforcement, ICE, as we so well know, Agent Jonathan Ross. Renee was in her car, stopped sideways in the street when Ross walked around it and then walked back and around her vehicle. Other agents approached, and one ordered her to get out of the car while reaching through her open window. Renee briefly reversed and then began moving forward to the right into the direction of traffic. At this point, Ross was standing in front left of the vehicle and fired 3 shots, killing her as her vehicle passed him. Turning away from him, the killing sparked national protests and multiple investigations. Now, the Minneapolis had been under siege before this, and that was the beginning of the gigantic protests in Minneapolis. That night, January 7th, 10,000 people came out to support and to protest what was going on. The Justice Department decided that they would not investigate the agent that killed Renee. Instead, they were going to investigate Renee's wife. The killing of Renee Good really brought things in the Twin Cities to a boiling point, especially when the Homeland Security and the president and the vice president suggested that Renee was a narco-terrorist and her wife was a paid agitator. Move forward. Nakima Levy Armstrong, community activist, civil rights attorney, ordained minister, leader of the Racial Justice Network, and allies, protested at a Southern Baptist church. And that's what we're going to start with, by playing the excerpts and an interview that Nakima did with Democracy Now! On the protest at the church.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said the Justice Department is investigating demonstrators who disrupted Sunday services at a church in St. Paul to protest one of the church's pastors, David Easterwood, who is reportedly a top ICE official in the Twin Cities.
Renee Good.
Among those joining the protests were Black Lives Matter Minnesota co-founder Monique Cullors and longtime civil rights leader and ordained Reverend Nakima Levy Armstrong.
David Easterwood is a pastor here. He is also the director of the field office for ICE in St. Paul. So someone who claims to worship God, teaching people in this church about God, is out there overseeing ICE agents.
Now, federal officials claim the church protest is a potential violation of the FACE Act. That's the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act, which is usually used to protect entrances to abortion clinics. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem told Newsmax arrests may be coming soon.
And that pastor really did a remarkable thing there, trying to protect his parishioners.
And even the parishioners, I imagine, are felt and feel intimidated. And
they did. And there's going to be arrests in the next several hours, Greta. There will be arrests tied to that.
David Easterwood's church issued a statement that, quote, invading a church service to disrupt the worship of Jesus or any other act of worship is protected by neither the Christian scriptures nor the laws of this nation, unquote. Meanwhile, activists again gathered Tuesday to call for the pastor's resignation due to his possible connection to ICE. For more, we're joined by Nakima Levy Armstrong, Minneapolis-based civil rights attorney, founder of the Racial Justice Network. Yes, she's also an ordained reverend and a preacher. We welcome you back to Democracy Now! You're joining us today from an undisclosed location. If you can explain what happened on Sunday, a protest that you were a part of.
Yes. So, Amy, four Black women activists and organizers planned Sunday's protest, and I was one of the four. And we are unapologetic about going into the church. We participated in the first part of the service, and the pastor prayed during the service, "Dear God, please chasten us and help us to get our house in order." So when he was done praying, I stood up and I said, "Excuse me, Pastor, you just prayed this particular prayer." And he said, "Correct." And I said, "Well, help me understand, how is David Easterwood a pastor here and also a director of ICE in St. Paul?" As soon as I mentioned David Easterwood's name, the pastor yells out, "Shame, shame," over the microphone. It was clear that he didn't want to engage me in discussion about this in front of the congregation because he didn't want people in the congregation to know about this conflict of interest that David Easterwood has. I mean, how can you serve as a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ while overseeing the brutal conduct of ICE agents who are literally terrorizing communities in the Twin Cities of Minnesota?
So can you respond now to Pam Bondi saying that the protesters, presumably including you, will be arrested? She said this yesterday, but she said it would be within hours. And talk about more about your decision to go into the church.
I can't speak to Pam Bondi and the federal government's decision to investigate those of us who were involved in the protest. There were probably around two dozen or so people. I can't speak to their decision-making because these are the same individuals who have firmly decided that they will not investigate ICE agent Jonathan Ross for the killing of Renee Good. I mean, if that's not hypocrisy, I'm not sure what is. How do you investigate and threaten to arrest nonviolent, peaceful protesters who are literally coming into a church to raise questions about this conflict of interest for this pastor? I mean, where is the separation of church and state? And if they're so concerned about what happens inside of churches, then why did Donald Trump roll back protections for churches when it comes to ICE? As a matter of fact, ICE agents can go into churches with a warrant and they can take people out and detain them. There have been cases of ICE agents waiting in parking lots to apprehend people as they are going in or coming out of church services. So clearly the Trump administration could care less about the sanctity of a church. I, however, as an ordained reverend, do care. I believe that if someone professes to represent the gospel of Jesus Christ and to preach it, that they should not be allowing ICE agents to drag people out of their homes, cut women out of seat belts in their cars and drag them out, bust down doors, bust out car windows, bring people out half naked in the freezing cold to detain them, taking trophy pictures with Black men and others that they've apprehended in their homes, scaring children, tear gassing children and families, almost killing a six-month-old, through the use of high-powered military-grade weapons such as flashbang grenades and very strong tear gas. I mean, these are real things that we're dealing with here in the state of Minnesota. It's delusional to pretend that these things aren't happening. It's delusional to pretend that there is a significant problem with David Easterwood serving as a pastor and as the overseer of ICE and defending their conduct, minimizing their conduct. So why are people who are raising their voices on behalf of the vulnerable, on behalf of the poor, in the name of Jesus Christ, the ones being persecuted? It is absolutely an abomination what is happening right now. And I'm continuing to stand 10 toes down for my community and in speaking the truth and in demanding justice and accountability. An ICE agent should not be able to kill someone with impunity, but that is exactly what we see happening with the murder of Renee Good. So we will continue to center these issues. We will not be gaslit by the federal government continuing to weaponize their investigative powers against those with whom they disagree. Even our governor, our mayor, the Hennepin County Attorney's Office, you know, there are so many people that they've decided to investigate other than the wrongdoers. And I think that that's unconscionable. It's disgusting. It's despicable. And it's antithetical to democratic values in our democracy.
Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon has also said the ex-CNN journalist Don Lemon may face charges for covering the protest. Dhillon has said journalism is not a shield from a criminal conspiracy. And he said that Don Lemon was committing journalism. Can you respond to this as we wrap up?
It's absolutely absurd. Don Lemon had no idea what the protest would even entail. For this particular protest, the only people who are aware of what's going to happen are the organizers. So Don Lemon made the decision to come to Minnesota on Sunday. He reached out on Saturday night after he saw my flyer for the protest that I posted on social media. And I said, you know, if you want to come and document, you're welcome to, but I cannot give you any information about the demonstration itself. So this is an attack on the free press, as we've seen time and time again from the Trump administration. Don Lemon did nothing wrong other than being there documenting our voices as well as the voices of parishioners and asking them what they thought about ICE, what they thought about Pastor David Easterwood being a high-ranking official within ICE. Some of the parishioners didn't even know about this man's dual role. So Don Lemon did his job as a journalist, and he should be protected. And this is along the lines of what has happened to journalists, whether they are being smeared in the media, threatened with investigation, or physically assaulted by ICE agents in the field. We've had journalists wearing press badges and still being tear gassed, still being shot with rubber bullets and harmed by ICE agents and others who are a part of the federal government. This has to end.
Yesterday, Rabbi, sold I to the merchant ships. Minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs.
Programming on KFAI is supported by that 1966 Chevy Corvair that's been sitting in your driveway for the last 15 years. When you donate your vehicle to KFAI, you're turning that old car into community radio. Not only will we tow your car, truck, motorcycle, or other vehicle away for free, your donation is eligible for tax deduction. Visit kfai.careasy.org to let go of your old ride and let it create more of the programming you love.
Despertemos. Despertemos, humanidad. Ya no hay tiempo.
Make the fight for freedom every day, in the year, every year.
We must not let ourselves be divided.
Tuesday, January 27th is Active Voice on KFAI, a day of special programming spotlighting Minnesotans working toward justice in our current world. Learn more at kfai.org/activevoice.
We're continuing our conversation on the rebellion that's happening in Minneapolis and the siege that's happening in our communities. We're talking about the arrest, the protest at the church, the arrest of Nakima Levy Armstrong and Chantel Allen over the hypocrisy of the minister of that church being the head of ICE in St. Paul. Just to remind you, the ICE agent that killed Renee Good was not even investigated, let alone arrested, yet Nakima and Chantel were. So this is an interview this afternoon from Democracy Now! With Nakima Levy Armstrong.
This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman as we continue to look at the deadly federal immigration crackdown in Minnesota. We're joined now by the civil rights attorney, minister, and activist Nakima Levy Armstrong. On Friday, she was released from jail a day after she and at least two others were arrested for participating in an anti-ICE demonstration at City's Church in St. Paul, where one of the pastors also leads a local ICE field office. This is a clip from that protest.
David Easterwood is a pastor here. He is also the director of the field office for ICE in St. Paul. So someone who claims to worship God, teaching people in this church about God, is out there overseeing ICE agents.
Nakima Levy Armstrong was arrested by Homeland Security Investigations, HSI, and FBI agents at the direction of Attorney General Pam Bondi. Bondi announced Armstrong's arrest on social media, referring to the protest as a, quote, coordinated attack on a house of worship. The White House then posted an AI-altered image of Nakima's arrest, making it appear she was crying, along with the text, arrested far-left agitator Nakima Levy Armstrong for orchestrating church riots in Minnesota. Unquote. The unaltered image clearly shows she was not crying. Nakima, welcome back to Democracy Now! There's so much to talk about since you were released from jail, not to mention what they have done to your image.
I think it's absolutely despicable, Amy, what our federal government is doing under the guise of immigration enforcement. They have essentially waged war in the streets of Minneapolis and the Twin Cities. And as you can see, two innocent civilians, American citizens, have been brutally murdered at the hands of ICE agents. Not only that, but as you saw, I'm being criminalized for helping to lead a nonviolent, peaceful demonstration inside of a church in which David Easterwood serves as a pastor, but also serves as the overseer for ICE agents in Minnesota. He is the very person who was cited in a lawsuit that was in front of Judge Menendez, where he was justifying the conduct of ICE agents, claiming that they were not behaving unconstitutionally, and also blaming protesters, claiming that protesters are the aggressors. So when you look collectively at the actions of the federal government, we have to understand that what they're doing is unconstitutional, it is diabolical, it is illegal, and it is unacceptable. We cannot be silent at a time like this. Even after what they have done to me with these trumped-up charges, arresting me, literally in bringing me in shackles from the federal courthouse to the Sherburne County Jail, along with my co-defendant, Chantel Allen, I am continuing to use my voice to speak out against this fascism, tyranny, and authoritarianism of the Trump administration. And others have to do the same.
What are you being charged with?
We are being charged with going into a church under the FACE Act, and they are claiming that we disrupted people from being able to practice their religion, or that we intended to, which is absolutely not true. We did not stop people from practicing their religion. As a matter of fact, there were folks who were still praying, who were still worshiping, who were still singing while we were there during the demonstration. And protesters and parishioners were engaged in conversation during that time. And so they have altered the facts, just as they altered my image, as a way of trying to criminalize nonviolent, peaceful protests and lawful dissent against their unlawful and unjust actions. Mm.
And the idea that you have been charged, but the ICE agent who killed Renee Good, an FBI agent, an FBI officer, has just quit because she was prevented from investigating his death. And of course, we don't know what has happened to the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol agents who killed Alex Preti. Were they taken out of the state? We don't know.
From our understanding, they were taken out of the state. And not only does this indicate a failure of our federal government in terms of there being literally zero checks and balances for any of these federal agents that have descended upon the streets of the Twin Cities of Minnesota, but it's also a failure of our Democratic leadership.
That was Nakima Levy Armstrong today on Democracy Now!
Tens of thousands of people who braved the bitter cold Friday demanding ICE out of Minnesota. Democracy Now!'s John Hamilton was there.
Ice out! Ice out! Ice out! Ice out!
It was 10 degrees below zero Fahrenheit when a crowd numbering in the tens of thousands marched through downtown Minneapolis Friday afternoon, calling on ICE to get out of Minnesota. It was the largest single day of action so far in the ongoing standoff between local community and the Trump administration since ICE, Border Patrol, and other federal agents, now numbering around 3,000, descended on Minnesota for Operation Metro Surge several weeks ago, bringing chaos, fear, and violence.
My name is Jenna Sherrick. I'm a local Minnesotan who grew up here my whole life. What's going around is not okay, and we all need to be here to make a difference and say it's not okay. When cruelty becomes reality, compassion becomes radical.
Sarah Shea, I'm a Minnesotan, and I'm here to support our Inuit neighbors and our friends and families and people who are not deserving what's going on right now. It's outrageous. We're frustrated. We're angry. We're everything, and we should all be out here supporting our neighbors and getting ICE out of our city. ICE out, and we protect us, because right now that is all us. It's all community. We are the only ones out here doing it for each other.
Standing back and not doing anything doesn't help with, you know, the situation. Everybody's scared, everybody, so we need to speak out.
The day of action was organized by clergy and labor leaders under the banner ICE Out, a Day of Truth and Freedom. The Minnesota AFL-CIO, representing over 1,000 unions across the state, endorsed the march, as well as many others. John Royce is an English teacher with the Minnesota Federation of Educators.
And we are here to shut it all down. All of us teachers from Minneapolis to St. Paul, from all the way up from Duluth down to Rochester, we are all here in the middle of Minneapolis to shut it all down for our students and their families and ICE out of our communities. Every teacher has so many stories right now, but you know, one, last week I had a student who joined online during class, and in the middle of my lesson, I teach English, the student messaged me and said, ICE is outside of my house right now, what do I do? And you know, I stopped class right away. All the students heard what happened. And, you know, thank God his neighbors were out there outside of his house, and they chased ICE out of their neighborhood. Those agents had been circling his house all morning. And, you know, I think it's really telling of our community, of our neighborhoods, how we've organized, and how we are out there defending one another, including my student, who, thank God, he's safe. You know, the fear is so tangible. The fear is so tangible. This is our last option. We need to shut it all down. And so I am calling on every educator in this state, in this country, to shut it down with Minneapolis, with St. Paul. You need to shut it all down with us, because if we do not shut it down right now, your city is next. And we do not want that to happen. We want to protect our students. We want our students back in schools. And the way we are going to get it is by shutting it down to get ICE the hell out of here.
Among those protesting were members of the Hmong American community, like Julie, whose family came to the United States decades ago as refugees after working alongside the U.S. in its secret war in Laos during the Vietnam War. She held a sign that read Hmong against ICE.
Scary, because they don't, regardless if you're a citizen or not, they don't ask, no question asked. They just assume that you're illegal, that you're a criminal. And it's not fair for those of us of people of color. My parents, they're citizen, but then we all live in fear. I'm a citizen, and I still live in fear every single day. And then now my kids are fear of, you know, going to school, because they have heard of stories of kids getting detained. And then my kids, they're scared of going to school. We was promised safety. We was promised that, you know, we'll get the freedom. But yet, today's world, we are seeing that, you know, it's getting revoked. Like, the United States are taking back the words. And the question is, why? Why is it getting revoked? Why are we now being targeted as, you know, aliens, criminals? Some of us took off work, no school, no shopping, so we're all out here against ICE.
As demonstrators in the streets shut down parts of the Twin Cities, more than 700 businesses across the state closed their doors for what some called an economic blackout or general strike. Insight Brewing in Minneapolis was closed for business but stayed open for neighbors participating in the day of action. This is marketing manager Joey Steinbach.
We are a space for our community, and our community is hurting right now. And the best way that we can help out is just direct to family donations. We've got a bunch of volunteers that are absolutely stellar. Outside of that, we're just making some signs. We're providing snacks, hand warmers, you know, just being a temporary third space while we're not open for official business.
Corporations that support or work with ICE were also targeted by demonstrators, like at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Where demonstrators gathered to protest deportation flights. The crowd of several hundred held signs that said business as usual doesn't fly and Renee Good was good. Among those who gathered were dozens of faith leaders. They shared stories of airport workers who had been arrested.
Lift up Pedro, a janitor who helped his sister who was unable to work and was detained.
No!
The union that represents airport workers reports at least 12 members have been arrested by ICE. Clergy then joined arms and sang while others knelt and prayed before police surrounded them, and at least 100 were arrested. According to organizers, more than 70,000 people marched in Minneapolis Friday, and several thousand were in attendance at the Target Center for a rally. This is comedian and native Minnesotan Liz Winstead.
And the untold thousands that are in this sport bowl facility, I am proud to call you neighbors. I do have to point out that we are in the Target Center, which may seem ironic, but remember, the Target Center is something our tax dollars pay for. So chant it with me. Whose stadium?
Our stadium.
Whose stadium?
Our stadium.
We are many. We are many.
The venue is named after the retail giant based in Minnesota that activists have criticized for permitting ICE to operate on their property and to arrest employees without warrants.
And when today is over, let's commit to shopping at the businesses that stood with us and make sure they can make it through these tough times, because the silence from the corporations in this state is deafening.
Speaking at the rally, faith and labor leaders urged Minnesotans to continue to stand together. This is CWA President Claude Cummings.
We stand in defiance of a wannabe dictator, and we will rise against the corporations and Trump's billionaire buddies quietly funding his campaign to shred the Constitution. Political scientists and historians tell us when countries have successfully prevented or reversed authoritarian control, unions have played an important role in stopping it. How do we do that? We stand shoulder to shoulder with our union siblings and with allies across the country. We do that when we join together and focus our attention directly on the corporations that enable fascism. Our unity across communities, organizations, and unions is our power. And whatever we do, we must do it together.
And they spoke of neighbors who had been lost to ICE violence. This is Rabbi Ariel Lekach Rosenberg.
I want to lift up the names of two neighbors, Victor Manuel Diaz, abducted from his workplace in Minnesota on January 6th, who died in ICE custody in Texas on January 14th. I want to lift up the name of Renee Macklin Good, queer poet, wife, parent, murdered in South Minneapolis by ICE on January 7th while observing an abduction in her neighborhood. May their memories be for blessing. May their families be comforted and surrounded in love.
The next day, another Minnesotan would be killed. Alex Jeffrey Preety.
You can't fool all the Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting the Dark Winter Tour, featuring Lord of the Lost and the Birthday Massacre, in the First Avenue main room, Monday, February 2nd. German dark rockers Lord of the Lost are touring with their latest melancholic manifesto of darkness, Opus Noir Volumes 1 and 2, with Volume 3 scheduled for release in October. While Canadian dark wave rockers The Birthday Massacre are touring with their new album, Pathways, opening the show is Wednesday 13. More information about Lord of the Lost and The Birthday Massacre's Dark Winter Tour in the First Avenue main room is available at first-avenue.com.
It's important that we heal. I think that one of the most important pieces for us to remember is that we're not only human, but we are divine as well. We're vibration, we're energy. And one thing that I know for sure is that the darkness cannot overtake the light. No matter what it appears to be currently, it's just an appearance. And this too will pass. I think our community has proven, no matter what the obstacles are, 40 below zero weather, watching our neighbors be murdered, we still stand strong, collective and together. There's an affirmation that I learned a long time ago that I have found to be very powerful and very helpful in helping me to stay tuned to my intuition as well as protect me from the darkness. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light guides me. The light protects me. I am the light. I am the light. The light is within me. The light moves throughout me. The light surrounds me. The light guides me. The light protects me. I am the light. And the most powerful thing about this particular simple affirmation is vibrationally it will keep you protected from two and four-legged darkness, adverse weather conditions, you name it. Because darkness cannot exist in the presence of the light. If you remember to use it, experiment with it, see if it works for you. I think that you'll find it to be one of the greatest gifts that you could ever give yourself. I am thankful for the adversities which have crossed my path and taught me tolerance, perseverance, self-control, and some other virtues I might not have ever known. Author Anonymous. When we are faced with a problem, we seem ready, able, and willing to do battle. Yet sometimes we enter the battle not being clear of the goal. The best way to ensure that we make it through the battle is to focus on the outcome, not on the war. Focus crystallizes and directs the powerful energy of the mind. Focus galvanizes the mental, emotional, and physical energy to such an exact degree that our efforts cannot miss the mark. When we focus on the goal and not the obstacles that can and do come about, we ensure victory. We should not spend our energy worrying about what the enemy might be doing. Like the mighty Ashanti, if we focus on our thoughts, take our steps with confidence, and move forward, we may stumble, but we cannot fall. Focus gives the elk its grace. Focus gives the gazelle its speed. Focus gave the Ashanti strength and a tradition as undefeated warriors. Affirmation: I remain focused on the goal, even in the midst of the battle. Reflection: how do you cultivate focus when the pressure is on? Where is your focus today? And how it is guiding you forward? That comes from the book Acts of Faith, Daily Meditations, Iyanla Vansant.
Peace. My name is Cindy Georgiades. I'm joining you today to walk you through a mindfulness activity that supports calmness, regulating your nervous system, and bringing your body back to its state of peace. I'd like you to follow me as I walk you through a guided breath meditation that you can take with you anywhere and practice at any time. This breath technique will be supported by a beautiful song titled Inner Peace by the group Beautiful Chorus. You can find it, I believe, on any streaming platform. With that said, please join me, if possible, and you're in a safe situation, by closing your eyes and taking a deep breath in through your nose, slowly breathing in, holding that breath for just a second, and then breathing out through your nose all that air that you just breathed in. I'd like you to take one more breath with me, breathing in really deeply, holding that breath, and then blowing all that air out through your nose. We're going to take a few minutes just to sit, listen, and breathe. Moving forward for the next 3 minutes, I'd like you to just spend a moment taking some deep breaths in and breathing out to support your body's regulation. slowly take one last breath in, holding that breath, and then breathing all that air out, all the feelings you have inside, just blow it all out. Slowly open your eyes and see how your body feels. This is a practice that you can use at any time to ground yourself and support a calm nervous system.
Gonna end this last segment with some of my favorite affirmations from Louise Hay, from her book, You Can Heal Your Life. No matter what's going on the outside, we have to maintain that calm and that sense of knowing and wonder on the inside. And affirmations do that for me, and I hope that this will be helpful for you as well. And what I call them are, in the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete, as that's the way most of the affirmations start, and it always grounds me and reminds me of who I am. I'm not the drama outside of myself. I am whatever I say I am on the inside. I'm human and divine. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. The past has no power over me, because I am willing to learn and to change. I see the past as necessary to bring me to where I am today. I am willing to begin where I am right now, to clean the rooms of my mental house. I know it doesn't matter where I start, so I now begin with the smallest and the easiest rooms, and in that way I will see results quickly. I am thrilled to be in the middle of this adventure, for I know I will never go through this particular experience again. I am willing to set myself free. All is well in my world. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I am one with the power that created me. I have within me all the ingredients for success. I now allow the success formula to flow through me and manifest in my world. Whatever I am guided to do will be a success. I learn from every experience. I go from success to success, from glory to glory. My pathway is a series of stepping stones to ever greater successes. All is well in my world. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I am one with the power that created me. I am totally open and receptive to the abundant flow of prosperity that the universe offers. All my needs and desires are met before I even ask. I am divinely guided and protected, and I make choices that are beneficial for me. I rejoice in others' successes, knowing that there is plenty for us all. I am constantly increasing my conscious awareness of abundance, and this reflects in a constantly increasing income. My good comes from everywhere and everyone. All is well in my world. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I recognize my body as a good friend. Each cell in my body has divine intelligence. I listen to what it tells me, and I know that its advice is valid. I am always safe and divinely protected and guided. I choose to be healthy and free. All is well in my world. Deep at the center of my being, there is an infinite well of love. I now allow this love to flow to the surface. It fills my heart, my body, my mind, my consciousness, my very being, and radiates out from me in all directions and returns to me multiplied. The more love I use and give, the more I have to give. The supply is endless. The use of love makes me feel good. It is an expression of my inner joy. I love myself, therefore, I take loving care of my body. I lovingly feed it nourishing foods and beverages. I lovingly groom it and dress it. And my body lovingly responds to me with vibrant health and energy. I love myself, therefore I provide for myself a comfortable home, one that fills my needs and is a pleasure to be in. I fill the rooms with the vibration of love so that all who enter, myself included, will feel this love and be nourished by it. I love myself, therefore I behave and think in a loving way to all people, for I know that that which I give out returns to me multiplied. I only attract loving people in my world, for they are a mirror of what I am. I love myself, therefore, I forgive and totally release the past and all past experiences, and I am free. I love myself, therefore, I love totally in the now, experiencing each moment as good and knowing that my future is bright and joyous and secure, for I am a beloved child of the universe, and the universe lovingly takes care of me now and forevermore. And so it is. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I am always divinely protected and guided. It is safe for me to look within myself. It is safe for me to look into the past. It is safe for me to enlarge my viewpoint of life. I am far more than my personality, past, present, or future. I now choose to rise above my personality problems to recognize the magnificence of my being. I am totally willing to learn to love myself. All is well in my world. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I now choose calmly and objectively to see my old patterns. And I am willing to make changes. I am teachable. I can learn. I am willing to change. I choose to have fun doing this. I choose to react as though I have found a treasure when I discover something else to release. I see and feel myself changing moment by moment. Thoughts no longer have power over me. I am the power in my world. I choose to be free. All is well in my world. In the infinity of life where I am, all is perfect, whole, and complete. I no longer choose to believe in old limitations and lack. I now choose to begin to see myself as the universe sees me, perfect, whole, and complete. The truth of my being is that I was created perfect, whole, and complete. I am now perfect, whole, and complete. I will always be perfect, whole, and complete. I now choose to live my life from this understanding. I am in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. All is well in my world.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, St. Paul, and around the world at KFAI.org.
I mean, this is not the kind of music that comes from Minneapolis, Minnesota.